Good morning, Jake.
Mike, how are you today, man?
Good, man. How are you?
You know what? The sun is out, the weather is cooling, and it's not blazing hot. I can go outside and do outside things when I'm not bursting into flames. I'm a happy camper, man. I'm a happy camper.
That's good. Well, I'm glad you're happy. You were so happy you were telling me some stuff you were excited about to get off the ground on this episode. So
yeah.
why don't you enlighten the audience about what's happening today?
Yeah, so Mike and I have been promising for a few episodes now, and we are this close to having it launched. So we've got the new playbook, the Disruption Playbook, coming out. And that has been a lot of fun to work through. And what has come out of this, and with a lot of our other discussions, it went a little bit different way than we thought it was going to go, which that's kind of fun. So you're going to have to check it out. It's getting ready to come out. It's going to be the Playbook of Disruption. It's ideas to action is where we're going with it. So that's where this episode starts. And this is going to be a part one episode, because this is a way longer conversation because it's a book. Let's get really, really clear about that. And so all of this is, we hear podcasts, we watch TV shows, we read books, we put them on our shelf, we do the things, we get ideas in our head, and there they are, right? I have a bookshelf. You can see it back here, two bookshelves actually, full of books of brilliant, genius ideas. How many of those have I executed and done action and implemented? Not a hell of a lot of them when it comes right down to a total percentage. So that's the discussion today. And you were just doing another podcast interview with another good friend of ours, Steve Ramona, talking specifically about this, like how people are not getting into action, the reasons why, like I'm laying it all out there, the stuff that I want to talk about today. So I'm going to do what Mike usually does to me, and because he's got some great insights on this that we started talking about earlier. Ideas to action, like what separates us? What do we got to do to get there, man?
Well, interestingly enough, I was talking about this to Steve in depth. And if I must take a minute and say, the reason why we started the Guild is this particular point, right? This thing that is a wall between why people take no action to action, take minimal action to action, or take minimal action to massive action and create massive results, massive success, is this particular arena, this gap, this space. And particularly, I don't know a lot of people that are talking about this. I mean, I know a few of the high-level motivational educators are doing this. But from a advent of people like us, I don't hear a lot of people doing it. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of tactics out there. There are a ton of how-tos from wildly successful, wildly honest people. But I think the mark has been missed in terms of some folks may take 6 or 7 methodologies just to take action. You know you want something. I'm sure you've been there. The kind of person that wants to achieve a goal, whether it's money, whether it's image, whether it's status, whether it's accomplishment, cleaning a room, whatever it is. But for some reason, or for a list of 100, you cannot seem to get off the ground and complete it. Or you're the kind of person that is taking minimal action and what we call half-assing it. You're just kind of getting it done. In certain cases, that's okay. The old launch and adjust model, or the old, hey, let me get the big things picked up in the room and I'll come back to the small things. Jake, you know anybody like that?
Yeah, I know a couple guys like that, that run into some of that stuff. And that's totally true. And there's, you're right. We've done the research. We've looked at it. There are, and we're going to give this to you guys at some point, you know, whether we lay it out today, there's 8 primary reasons. 8. We're picking the number 8 because we like the number 8. And it starts to feel redundant after 8 as we research it. There's 8 reasons people don't take action. We're figuring out that there's really about 6 techniques to really actually use. And there's subcategories within some of the others, right? There's smaller pieces, and this is what Mike's talking about. And exactly where he's talking about, you might have to burn through all 6 of these to get past one of these hurdles, the original 8 hurdles. It may take all 6 of them to burn through. It might just take one. We don't know, but you've got to have them in your toolbox. You got to be able to use them. So that's the stuff that we're talking about. I know more than a couple guys. I know everybody suffers with this or struggles with it. I don't care how good they look on the outside. You look at them, you're like, man, that guy has got their together. They've got it, man. They've nailed it 100%. You believe that, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes with them. We don't necessarily know true, but I can promise you, everybody that you see is a major hitter. Everybody we interview on the show, Mike and I, everybody that we know that we look up to as mentors, the people that we put on high pedestals, every single one of them has crashed and burned over one of those original 8 at some point, every time.
I agree. And for those of you that are looking, we're going to go into 2 of the 8 today, and we have multiple part series, but I wouldn't be doing you any justice if I didn't talk about the Total Disruption Guild. And inside the guild, we teach people how to overcome these. We have in-depth interviews, we have strategies, we have breakdowns of what particular trigger somebody pulled to create their success. We've got teachings from people back there, resources for you to deploy, and the subscription fees go to Boys and Girls Club in America and Wounded Warriors, now a portion of them, not the entire. And you can find that at totaldisruption-disruption.com. Total-disruption.com. TOTAL-DISRUPTION.com. And you can check us out in the guild where Jake and I are back there coaching people. We are deploying this information we've been talking so much about. And the core of the essence of what we do is this particular episode, this topic right here. So let's jump in. Okay.
Yeah, man.
There are a lot of reasons. You can read Jake's library over there full of textbooks about why people don't take action. I'm not going to list all 8 because it'll get lost in the episode. We're going to talk about 2. We talked about future self-casting. Okay. Why someone can't take action. I believe it was 2 episodes ago. Mm-hmm. Why someone can't take action is they don't see themselves in the right light. They're feeding the wrong version of themselves. Great. There are 2 more. And a lot of times folks put these 2 in the same category, and they are 2 totally different categories. One is fight, and then you add an L, and one is flight, right? Same word, 1 letter, 2 totally different directions. It's amazing the change when the letter is out.
Oh, yeah.
Let me frame this up here. I want to become a millionaire. I'm just going to use this out. Well, I have a business and I want it to grow. Okay. I am going to run towards it, right? That is the kind of the flight mentality, run towards or away in a direction. Or I am going to attack or defend, and that's the fight mentality. I'm either running away from something, I'm running towards something, or I am building something up or breaking it down. That's kind of the fight or flight mentality. Now, as an animal, you hear a noise. Oh, my goodness. I'm hungry. I'm going to run towards the noise because I'm hungry. I'm afraid. I'm going to run away from the noise because I'm afraid. And people, all genders, all walks of life, don't take action because of this. Either I'm fighting too much or I'm flighting too much. Jake, what do you hear when you hear that?
And it, so I want to plus 1 on that one. I want to throw a little NLP at this that we know is true. And this comes from, with this concept, my single most annoying word that I absolutely hate, and it just feels like all my coaching clients use it, drives me up a wall. I hate the word comfort. Hate it. That's just me. You guys need to know that. So with fight, you don't want to call it fight or flight, right? Because, and I agree with Mike on this, because there, when you're in that very archaic mode, very organic, very reactive mode in this, you know, we're talking caveman stuff here. This is the little squishy thing in the back of your head. Your human hypothalamus is as stripped down of an organ as you can get. When you get into this space, you are acting an instinct. Straight up instinct is where you're acting. Now, what we find is when you start thinking, that's when you get into trouble, is when you start thinking and you're out trying to outthink instinct in this. So let's talk about the fight mode. When you're right there at fight, you can even look at this from a pain and pleasure perspective, fight and flight, right? If you're, and you had said you're in two different places. So if you're running towards something or you're running away from, what we tend to see from this comfort and pain versus pleasure and fight flight mode is you get comfortable in this being uncomfortable space, that you don't run away from the pain. You get in this, well, I'll just sit here and wrestle through it. I'm comfortable with, I've been on fire for 3 days. I'm okay with it. I understand what that is, versus I could run towards the pool and put myself out. But so that from a concept standpoint, I'm trying to strip it down to like very, very easy terms so that we can look at this. That's the one place fight flight I tend to notice is fight is, hey, I'm comfortable here, but I'm scared of what I might run to. I'm just as scared. I'm actually more scared about what I might run to. We see it from a predator-prey relationship all the time. Prey will stop and it will hide and it will stand there and it will wait just to see if it's been seen until it confirms it's been seen, and then it's going to run like hell. A predator will stop. It will wait. Has it been seen? Has it been caught by the prey? Kind of thing. So I know I'm expounding a little bit deep, but I'm trying to explain the mental capacity of where it is here from a very, very, very simple state.
Well, I think that's the best way to put it when you break it down like that. And that's a lot of times failure to take action. And you could come up with all the to-dos, all the tactic lists, the calendars, all those things you hear about. Management, marketing, get your message out there, budget. Dude, you and I are talking that 8-inch space ear to ear here, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, in my head, it might be 10. But, with this noggin of mine. But we're talking, okay, not only that, but then, right, from an organizational standpoint and a brand standpoint, when you talk about surrounding yourself with people that are better at something than you are, here's the essence. You want to surround yourself with people. If you're a person that's running, like you're typically scared of something, whether it's your childhood trauma in your life, and you find yourself always running away from something, well, great. You're the cautious one. You're the hold on. Let me look at this for a second. Let me figure this out and look at the danger here. Partner yourself up with an organization or someone else. That's the predator that's going to go out and acquire, right? Create that, or a subordinate, meaning a VP or a salesperson or a brand representative or somebody that you're aligning with to market your product. Figure that out. Or take about 10,000 hours of self-help courses and be both. One way or the other, understand that this is a problem, but it's a gift at the same time.
Right.
Not everything is bad. You don't have to be everything. It's okay to be scared all the time. If you don't like it, fix it because of a different reason. If you're scared all the time and you're not taking action because you've got some sort of fear, it's amazing when you just allow a little bit of control and a couple of other people in your life to move, to bounce your ball down the road a little bit. You'd be surprised. You'll catch up and it gets contagious. And then there's this synergistic accountability. So same applies if you're a fighter, right? If you're always attack, 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 and you found you spent thousands of hours overacting and down pigeonholes and down rabbit holes, and you've almost taken so much action that you're flat broke, you're constantly investing in courses, you're constantly doing stuff, you're constantly overspending, you're just spending so much time. Yes, I can do it. Yes, I'll take this on. Yes, I'll take this project on. I'll go back to making the $1 million. You can't do it on your own. You need somebody behind you going, oh, pull in the reins, man. Stop. Get comfortable saying no. Now, I know we're going down some coaching rabbit holes here, but I just want to give as much as we can in this conversation. Where are you at with all this, Jake? I mean, you hear me speaking. Am I making any sense, or am I just talking?
Yeah, and we're both, and it's such a big topic, Mike, and it's so hard to just stay in one lane with this because it is. It's a huge topic that we're talking about. You talked about, and I don't. It's another one of those. You drop these amazing nuggets and just rage past them, and I got to go back and pick some of them up along the way. And I love that one. Get comfortable with saying no, even though I hate that word. Like, I'm okay with it in that context. No, yep, can be a complete sentence. Absolutely can. And you made a great. I related to it. I related to it because I've been that guy before. Of build, 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 drive, 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 go, go, go. Every course. Put 10,000 things out there into the world because one of them's got to stick. Right. That is a mentality. That is a thought process. Right, wrong, or indifferent. It's a mentality. And yet you've got to have those people that are like, okay, too broad, rein it into here, define it better. And they start asking you questions. Goes back to where Mike's talking about mentorship, coaches, role models, people. The quote of, you want to go fast, go there by yourself. You want to go far, you go together. Nobody succeeds alone. Jim Rohn, you're a product of the five people you spend the most time around, you know, on and on and on and on within that capacity. So from an action state, if we bring this back around to start closing this loop a little bit, one of the things that I'm hearing the most today from both of us, and as I unpack this, is one of the easiest ways, simplest ways, and I'll say simple, not easy, simplest ways to get into action from ideology, from this theory, is get around somebody else that's moving. You can go straight up Isaac Newton physics here if you want to. An object in motion, unless acted upon by an external force, will remain in motion. So if you align yourself with somebody that's in motion, going the direction you want to go, their momentum will help pull you the direction. Now your momentum helps push them. When you get into those relationships, and now you have somebody to ideate with. You have somebody to go, hey, man, Mike, I'm working on this. What do you think about this? And Mike's going to go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And that's okay. That is okay. I want to hear that because I need somebody to get me out of my head. I need somebody that's going to hold me accountable there. And I think that's true of everybody. So I think that relationship factor, and it gives you, you know, you look at herd mentality from huge animal herds. The same is true. If the whole herd's moving one direction, the whole herd is moving one direction. That's the way that they're going to go. Here's the troublemaker. There's going to be some of the breakaways. There's going to be some that are going to steer off to the right or off the left or get out in front. But then there's stragglers. What happens to the stragglers, Mike, on a big herd of animals?
They get eaten.
Mm-hmm, they get eaten. So where are you in that herd? If you're going to go together, are you leading it? Are you a part of the pack? Are you, you know, keeping everybody in the curves? Are you straggling? Are you the one dragging? No.
I like where you're going with that. I realize I'm getting a little late on time here, but I want to just say something about what you also said. You know, it can be coaches and mentors, but it can also be employees or contractors or partners. And if you're going to ideate with somebody, here's a hack for you guys while we're at it. Be ready to ideate and go, hey, listen, I'm on this by you, but I might need to get in touch with you. Is it cool if I can hit you up over the next 2 weeks a bunch of times over text? Because I'm going to have a lot of questions for you. Get that permission early, because those of us that know that. And those of us understand, you know, lots of time, poof, don't spend any time. We know it's always condensed, expand. Jake and I, even in our business dealings, go through a bunch of periods of time. We talk 6-7 times a day. 3-4 days go by. You know, we kind of get back to our respective lives 6-7 times a day. It's totally cool to do that. That's a hack for you guys. Jake, I think we've covered a ton of ground today. We could go on and on and on about this fight and flight. But these are two major factors why people fail to take the action necessary and the sustained action necessary to accomplish and achieve goals. I would say if you guys have questions, reach out on our social channels, give us a little comment or something, or DM to the Total Disruption on Facebook, and we'll hit you back.
Yeah, ask the questions. We'd love to have the conversation with you.
Well, for Jake Clendenning, I'm Michael Labersi. You guys have a great time. We will see you next episode on Total Disruption.